If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would, turn with us to the second chapter of the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 2. While you're turning in your Bible, we want to say thank you for all the beautiful choir singing. The ladies of the trio, you sounded beautiful. Thank you for that wonderful song. Thank you for everything that's been said and done thus far this morning. We ask that you pray for us here for just a few minutes. We've been looking to get here for so long, we might preach for 5 minutes or 5 hours. I don't know. We never thought we would stand where we're standing. The Lord told us it was time to leave where we're at. I said, well, I've got to make myself available, but they'll never come. And then they came. And I tried to make it not work. I tried to undo it. I tried everything I could. When it got down to the end of it, I said, Lord, if you want me to go, I'll go with you. Where we're at today, and like I said, I'm not nothing. I'm really not, but I've got a lot of confidence in the Lord, man. And I just want to do what's best for the Lord, and most of all, what's best for Silver City Church. And we came to be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. And we love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart. We are very grateful for this opportunity, and we want to do all we can while we can, while God has given us an opportunity, and we appreciate this. I want to say this. I don't have the preacher's itch, but I appreciate the opportunity to preach. Amen. I love the Word of God. I really do. And if you don't know anything about me, I hope by the end of the close of the service today, you'll figure out that I love the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God will stand. The Bible said that He said, heaven and earth shall pass away. He said, but my Word shall never pass away. And I believe this morning that the Lord's laid something on our heart. And He actually, we've been dealing with this thought, I guess, for about a week now. And sometimes that's a bad thing. Sometimes it's a good thing. But nevertheless, we want to read this scripture right here in Philippians in chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse number 5. It's a very familiar passage of scripture, I'm sure. Really, honestly, don't know that we've ever stood on this. We've used it a lot of times, but you pray for us. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, the scripture reads, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And we believe that'd be all the Lord have us to read in your hearing this morning. We pray that God richly add his blessing to the reading of his word. And if we had a thought this morning, we want to share this with you. What is the difference between worth and value? Amen? Worth and value. And there's so many people, and I know Butch drives Toyota pickup, and there's probably a lot of you in here that drive. And listen, I'm a simple-minded man. This is how the Lord shows me things. This is how I preach. But a Toyota pickup, if you drive up and down the road, you get on Craigslist, I don't care what you do, I don't care if it's 15 years old and got 250,000 miles on it, they still want $7,000 for one. Because that's what society tells us that it's worth. But as far as I'm concerned, it has no value to me. I wouldn't give you a dollar for it. Amen? But the world defines what something is worth today. But my question to you this morning is, we have Calvary, we have Christ, we have the church, we have all these things around us, but the world tells us that they're worthless. But my question to you this morning is, do they have any value in your life? Amen. And as we look right here, the Bible says in the fifth verse, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And I'm going to tell you something, friends, today. I'm glad that salvation, listen, it's not of man, because man's salvation today is worthless. Amen. There's so many people, I'm telling you, hell today is full of people who got saved because of a preacher, because of an event, because of whether it's communion, baptism. There's so many people believing in fallacies today that hell, the Bible said that hell is overflowing. Amen. Listen, the soul of man was never intended nor created to live in that place called hell. It was created for one purpose and for one reason, and that was for the devil and his angels. And if you go to that place, you'll go as one thing, you'll go as an intruder. Amen. Now listen, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter, he said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all A-double-L should come unto repentance." Amen. Let me lay this law real quick. Amen. What is the will of God? The will of God is for you to be saved. Amen. Friends, listen to me. There's so many doctrines, so many theologies floating around today. Listen, I want to emphasize this fact. Friends, listen. Christ didn't die on Calvary for those that would get saved. Christ died on Calvary for all those that would and would not believe upon him. He died for every single individual. Amen. From in the beginning, the Bible says to amen. I'm glad today that Calvary, listen, that Calvary may be worthless to the world, but it has a value that is priceless to me. Amen. I'm glad today that Calvary, in my own life and in my own respect, in respect of my family, in respect of Silver City, I'm glad that it has value that cannot be bought with money. Calvary. The world counts it as worthless. But you know, the Bible teaches us, it said, go ye out to the great command of Christ. And in the last chapter of the book of John, listen, he said, go ye out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Amen. Listen, if there's one thing that the Lord wants from us, he wants us to draw the lost in. Amen. And I want to say this to you, church. Here today, here this morning, you say, preacher, you coming in, getting on us already? I'm not. I'm just going to preach. Amen. I believe in preaching the Word of God. Amen. The whole thing. Amen. I like to preach the whole thing. Listen, not what fits you or not what fits me. The Bible said in the 8th chapter of the book of Amos, he said that he hung a plumb line from the wall. And listen, we've got a lot of contractors in here. And I helped my daddy-in-law. We built houses for a while. And listen, you don't form the house. Listen to me. You don't form the house and then adjust the plumb line to square things up. Listen, because eventually the foundation will give way. Amen. The walls can't stand. And listen, the Word of God today is the plumb line of the Lord. Amen. Listen, we don't take the Word of God and adapt it to our lives. We take our lives and conform it to the Word. Amen. Because the Word of God today is the standard by which we live by. Amen. Listen, in him we have, the Bible said in Acts 17:28, it said, in him we live and move and have our being. Amen. Listen, if you exist today, if you have breath and if you have being, it's through the Holy Ghost of God. So friends, listen to this. It said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant,
and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, listen to this, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The death of the cross today to the world is, well, listen, it's a fairy tale. It's a myth. It's worthless. But listen, what I want to, I want to propose a question to you friends this morning. Is what you got, does it have any kind of value, or is it worthless? Amen. I've got a different opinion, and I approach things probably a little bit different than anybody. I realize that and I understand that. I never try to talk anybody into being saved. Amen. If I ever do anything, I'll try and talk them out of it. Amen. Because if I can talk them out of it, they never had it to begin with. Amen. Listen to me. I'm telling you something. There was a change made in me the day I got saved. It wasn't turning over a new leaf. It was a new life. Amen. So many people today, they are confused because they have been converted without conviction. Amen. They've been converted without conviction. And you can't get to the end unless you go through the pain. Amen. So let me tell you something. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And that what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Listen to this. Condemn sin in the flesh, that we might receive the righteousness of the law. Amen. Now listen to me. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you get saved today, if you get reborn, justified, and sanctified and glorified. It's a changing of the mind, of the heart, and of our ways. Amen. So many people, they come to the altar, they say, well, preacher, I got saved. And they get up and they go do the same thing that they used. You know what repent means? It means to turn and go a different way. Amen. Listen to me. I heard my grandpa describe it like this. He said, to repent is like walking into a briar thicket. Amen. Let me tell you something. When you walk into a briar thicket, you don't run through them. Amen. You just get wadded up that much tighter. You've got to back your way out. Amen. Listen, you got to back out carefully. And you got to take the branches and you got to pull them one by one. Amen. But if you go bullheaded forward, that's not repentance, friend. The Bible said God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Amen. Boy, y'all called a crazy preacher, didn't you? I'm telling you something, friends, this morning. It's a new way to live. Romans 12:1, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed. Listen to this. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen to this. I love this. That you may be able to prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Amen. I'm telling you something. Well, listen, friends, I'm glad that when we get saved, it's a changing of the mind. It's a changing of the intellect. It's a changing of the heart. Amen. It's manifest among men that they might see the light that is in us. Amen. That's what getting saved is. Hey, we've got this preconceived notion today that, listen, and I want to say this with all the sincerity of my heart. Amen. There's too many people in the church house today that are claiming conversion that have never known conviction. Amen. I want to say this. Amen. God, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, he never died for the preacher. He never died for the deacon. He never died for the Sunday school teacher. He never died for the lay member. He died for the sinner, Roger. Amen. Listen, the Bible said in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. We sing that song, "Just As I Am." He don't want you fixed up, cleaned up. He don't want you with a case of the do-betters. He wants you in your sin and in your unrighteousness and in your vileness, because that's how he died for you. And listen, if you come to him in that condition, that's how you get saved. Listen, hey, I may be the only one excited about it. I'm glad, friends, that there's a difference. I'm glad that it's not just a change of venue. It's not just a change of scenery. It's being born into the family of God. You know, the book of Job tells us this. It says their names shall be cut off from the city of those streets. And listen, I want to challenge your mind here for just a minute. Friends, listen, if you're, I've got two children, Hayden and Anna Lee. I don't know my third child. I don't know, Roger, why you say that? Because they've never been born. You see, to be recognized, to be noticed, to be a part of the family of God, you've got to be born into the family of God. If you're never born into the family, it'd be as though you never even existed, because there'll be no sorrow and no tears. We sang the song, no tears up there. Well, listen, I'm going to a place, listen, where there is no Alzheimer's that's killing my grandpa, where there is no cancer, where there is no blindness nor life. Friend, we're going to a place that is known without sin. Amen. Listen, I'm going home with it. I'm going to quit preaching one of these days and start worshiping. Amen. If I take you out off the benches, y'all just move. Listen, friends, this morning, I'm glad that there is a change. If you've never experienced a change, listen, I'm going to tell you something today, and all the parents in here know. Friends, listen, I remember when Hayden was born, close to 8 years ago, and listen, we were in the hospital, and they induced Mandy when Hayden was born, so did Anna Lee. But you know, when people tell you, they tell you, boy, your life's fixing to change, don't they? They tell you, your life's fixing to change, you say, yeah, I know. No, you don't understand, your life's fixing to change. You say, yeah, I know. We got the room painted. We got the bed. We got diapers. We got everything. People say, no, your life is fixing to change. You say, yeah, I know. That's what I'm talking about, a change. Moms and daddies, this is what I want for your children. Listen, I want you to listen to me. And I'm not talking to those that have never been saved and those that are lost. I'm talking to the mamas and daddies right now, because this is what I want for your children. People say, well, no, your life is fixing to change. You say, yeah, I know. We got to the hospital that day. I'll never forget it. Listen, we spent the night, the night before was our anniversary. We spent the night in the hospital. I went to Red Lobster, and listen, we eat our anniversary dinner in the hospital. They got us up at 6 o'clock the next morning. They induced her. Listen, things rocked on till 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the evening. Nothing changed. Nurse coming in and out and coming in and out. Said, no, nothing. And last time she come in there, she said, you ready? There's his head. Flung the covers back and said, push. Things is fixing to change. And you say, yeah, I know. And when she said push, I said, wait a minute. Let's pray. And we had prayer, and she started pushing. And the nurse grabbed my hand and said, "Look over here." She said, "Look over here, there's his head." And I tell you what, listen, that is the process of change. Amen, listen. And that baby came out, doctor, and I held that precious child in my hand for the first time. And the little hands grabbed mine and the breath, and it was crying. I'm telling you, it was a change. And I've never been the same since. When you get saved, it's a change. That's why when you talk to people and you say, "Did you feel different when you got saved?" and they say, "Yeah." I start to wonder, because the day I got saved, they say, "You feel different." I said, "There's something totally different." Hey man, listen, I ain't telling you that I heard thunder from the sky, but I can tell you this, I had a love in me, listen, that could not be described. Hey man, Kyle Savage said this one time, and I love the way he put this. A lot of people say, "What'd you feel when you got saved?" He said, "It ain't what I felt when I got saved, it's what I didn't feel, cause glory, the burden was gone." Amen. Have you ever experienced a change? Some of you may have heard me preach on this, and don't know if you have or not, don't matter. When Jacob, the Bible said that he wrestled with the angel to the breaking of the day. And the scripture said, as they wrestled back and forth, the angel spoke to Jacob, said, "Turn me loose." He said, "For the day is breaking." Jacob looked at him, Jacob looked at him and said, "I'm not going to turn you loose." The angel said, "Turn me loose." He said, "I'm not turning." The angel said, "Turn me loose." He said, "I'm not turning you loose until you bless me." It's about time some church folks got a hold of the Lord and didn't turn loose. Amen. That's all it takes. Jacob grabbed hold of the angel of God. The Bible says they wrestled to the breaking of the day. And finally, when the day began to break, the angel touched the hollow of his thigh and put his leg out of socket. And the Bible says this, that Jacob walked with a limp all the days of his life. They wouldn't even eat anything with sinew, with ligaments in it, because of the experience. And I'm telling you, friends, today, when you have an encounter with God, it is a change. Every time somebody's seen Jacob and he had a little hitch in his gait, up, they said, "That's the man that had an encounter with God." And people say the same about you. I usually don't tell people that I'm a preacher. I don't want to be recognized for what I am. I want to be recognized for who I am. Amen. Well, I tell you, there's a lot of people that carry a bunch of titles today. And I'm going to tell you something. I treat everybody the same. I try to. Don't respect me for what God has called me into. I want you to respect me for who I am in the Lord. And I want you to have the same respect for yourself. Not what I am in society's standards, but what am I in the eyes of God? How do I reflect that light? The Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world." He also said, "Ye are the salt of the world." He said, "If the salt loses savor, how?" Little kids sing the song, "You're going to take your light and hide it under a bushel." So many people today, friends, listen to me. I love you this morning. I thank God for a burden that God gives a pastor. Listen, there's very few of you here this morning that I really know, but I'm glad that I love each and every one of you. Amen. I'm telling you something, friends, listen. A lot of people say, "Well, preacher, I'm sure the community is saying, well, who's that preacher that come? What's going on over there? Well, he wanted this." And listen, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't want nothing. I'm just here because God sent me. Amen. Amen. I'm going to try and wind this up. Listen, it says, let this mind, and I can't say this enough, because all we talk about is the heart, and you're not wrong in that. But Jesus said, let this mind be in you, which was also in me. So when He changes your heart, Christian folks, and you profess that you've been saved by the grace of God, there ought to be a change of mind. You ought to think different. You ought to do different. Amen. Listen, you don't want to associate with the things that you used to do. Amen. There is a breaking away because it's a change of the intellect. Amen. Listen, I'm glad when you get saved, He saves you from the top of your head to the toes on your feet. He saves every fiber and every part of your being. Now, I'm going to speak to you about this just right quick. It says, wherefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Listen to this in verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. Let me stop and say this right here, and this is an entirely different message for another day. And y'all probably figuring me out on Sunday mornings. I've been used to preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night for forever. So I got to get it all out on Sunday morning. Pack your lunch. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Let me tell you something. There is coming a time in the future. Listen to me, in Hebrews 9:27, the Bible says, and it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Amen. In verse 28, the Bible says this, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen. The second time. We're not talking about third, fourth, and fifth. We're talking about the second. When Jesus returns for His children. Listen, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Amen. Listen, of things in heaven. I want you to listen to this now because the Bible is speaking to today. He said, the things that are in heaven, those that are dead. The things that are in the earth, those that are living. And the things under the earth, those are the souls that are lost. Amen. The Bible said in John 5:28, it said, marvel not this, for the hour and time is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. It's not separated by 7 years, 1,000 years. It's not separated by eternal judgment. My friends, today that is a common event. Amen. It's even, listen to me. The Bible said that we believe in the general resurrection and judgment of the saints. Preacher, I didn't know you was going to say all that. I did. Listen to me, friends, this morning. There is a commonality to the return of Christ. And He said in that day, the things that are in heaven, the things that are on earth, the things that are under earth, shall fall on their knees. Whether you declare Him Savior here or there, it will be done. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things of heaven, things of the earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. We're going to crown Him as King one of these days. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15, He said, when all principality and power is laid down, the last enemy which shall be destroyed is death. Friends, listen to me. There's coming a day when all the troubles, the trials, and the tribulations, the things that we know, the things that we suffer, all these things that hinder and beset us, one of these days, friends, we are going home. Amen. I'm telling you something. I've told people this in the hospital, especially families, when they've got a loved one that's passing from this side to the next. Friends, listen, I know that we grieve, and I know that it's a very sentimental process. It's hard to let go. It's hard to turn loose. But I'm telling you this, don't weep for me, because the only way I can get where I'm preaching about is to die. The only way I can get there, let me go. Amen. I've got more on the other side than I do on this side. Matthew said in the 6th chapter, he said, lay not treasures up on the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. He said, but lay your treasures up in heaven where moth and rust cannot corrupt and thieves cannot break through and steal. The only thing you're going to lose is the treasures you've laid up this side of heaven. And I know I've laid a lot up here, and I know I've probably worked more than I should have and put more effort into a lot of things, but I've been working pretty hard laying up some treasure on the other side. Amen. I'm glad these old saints of God, listen to Spud English and Miss Annie Ruth, my heroes in the faith. I pray they've done gone on to be with the Lord, but I'm glad that there's some treasure. I'm glad that there's some stored treasure, some stored precious prayers that have been bottled up for you and I here today. I believe that. He said, I'm going to be done now. He said, wherefore, my beloved, ye have always obeyed not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I'm going to talk to you for just briefly, if I can, about this. But let me tell you something. Yes, I believe this wholeheartedly. I believe that salvation is an individual salvation. I believe that God don't save a family. He saves an individual. You're not going to heaven because mom and daddy's saved. You're not going to heaven because of your lineage, because of your character, because of your inheritance. You'll get saved because you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's the only way you're going. Amen. The Bible said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father lest he comes by me. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, the songs we sing, and I love, they're good songs, but I want you to pay attention. Listen, Moses, Abraham, and Elijah, and all those people, they didn't get to heaven before Christ. They got there, when they go, they got there the same way I'll get there, and that is through Jesus. Jesus, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father lest he come by me. Friends, listen to me this morning. Now, I believe that salvation is individual. I believe that we work it out. I believe that it's instantaneous. I believe it's a favor of God. But salvation doesn't stop when we get saved. It then only begins. Amen. And we as the Baptist church, and me as the Baptist preacher, we're the world's worst. We evangelize. Get them saved, get them saved, get them saved, get them saved. And I'm telling you, we popping them like popcorn. Amen. We getting them saved left and right. And I'm going to tell you, but listen, as soon as we get them saved, we turn them and we send them back to mama. Now is when the work begins. Church, this is our job. This is when we take these young converts and teach them and pray with them. And I'm telling you, we love them in the Word of God, because heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word never pass. I tell you, in all the days of my life especially, but especially in the years I've been pastoring, I've never seen so much confusion as I have today. Seems like people, they spend hours in the altar because they're confused. The Bible says God's not the author of confusion. And we say, well, it's their fault because they're the ones out living in sin. Let me tell you something. I know that's a choice that we make, but where has the church stood and done its job in discipling them so that they wouldn't make the choices that are often presented in the day that we live? Y'all done. Stand to your feet. Y'all come with a song this morning. I don't know your heart. I don't know your heart this morning. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. I don't know what your need is. I want to say this to you just quickly. As we talk this morning about worth and value, I want to challenge every Christian. I mean this morning. I'm different. You go ahead and say amen because you've figured it out by now. I want to challenge you this morning. I know that I don't know what your custom is about the church folks coming to the altar and praying or not, but it's not my concern right now because I feel like the Lord wants this morning. Is your salvation worth something? Or does it have value that is priceless? Is your salvation worthless? Won't you come get something that has value? You know, the Bible said in Isaiah 5, he said, come ye and buy wine and milk is without price. But he's talking about something that don't cost money, but it is priceless because it has eternal value. That's to the lost people. That's to the Christian people. I want to challenge you this morning. Is your home, does it have value? Husbands and wives, does your marriage have value? Preacher, you getting in my business. No, I'm not. It's the Word of God. Raise a godly home, raise a godly family, and you'll have godly children that will be saved. Does your life have value? Or does it have worth? I was saying what you know.